Moro Bawo, and welcome to the Africa Matters podcast. Now, once again, if you are looking for a podcast that is going to tell you about the despair of the continent and how we are just not going to grow, how we are the continent of no hope, then this is not the podcast for you. But if you are looking for a podcast where you can be inspired by the work of young Africans and diaspora as they change the continent through different sectors, then this indeed is the podcast for you. Welcome again to the Africa Matters podcast. I am your host, Farai Mubaiwa, and for today's episode, oh my word, it is so interesting. We'll be looking at construction trends in Africa. What are the sort of programs and projects that our leaders are focusing on? And does this actually align with the sort of economic growth, but also human development that we want on the continent? Now, our special guest today is Remind Mudau, who is a junior broker in the construction and engineering department that is part of the Broking Center for Aeon Commercial Risk Solutions. Aeon South Africa is a leading provider of insurance and reinsurance broking, risk consulting, and employee benefit solutions that are based upon a rich understanding of business challenges on the continent. Remind has been at Aeon since 2015, and she is so interested in growth, development, construction. When we look at what her interests are in development and empowerment, she's super interested in the empowerment of women and children and believes that there is power in the youth of Africa. And so today, as we have this conversation about construction trends in the continent, we'll be hearing from Remind, what are we seeing? What are her own perspectives? And also, what does she believe the priorities of our governments should be? Remind, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much, Farai, and I am very thankful for being part of this and being able to share my experience in this construction field.
Super. So just before we actually are deep diving into the different questions we have for you, we just wanted to just set the context in terms of construction trends within the continent. So to set this context, Africa Matters looked at the Deloitte Africa Construction Trends Report of 2018. And I think what is so interesting is that it started off with this quote, which is a Chinese proverb, which says, if you want to prosper, first build roads. And what we're seeing from this construction trends report is that the transport sector is the leading sector in terms of the construction project developments. In 2018, this accounted for 40% of construction projects across the continent, with the focuses on roads, bridges, and rail. What we also see, which is really interesting, is that 33% of projects built across Africa in 2018 were Chinese companies, and only 24% were local contractors. We're also seeing that there are increasing trends in transport and real estate, and you know, we're seeing the commercial link in terms of real estate and the development, because a lot of our governments want to ensure that they've got exporting processing zones and, you know, they're developing their special economic zones. So with the Deloitte Africa Construction Trends Report of 2018, they looked at 482 projects that were valued at over $50 million. And the total value of all of these projects across the continent is $417 billion. Now, from a regional perspective, East Africa had the most construction projects at 28.8%. Now, for me, what was even more interesting than the regional split is the type of projects that our government is focusing on. From the sectoral split, we see that the transport sector, as mentioned, accounts for about 40% of the projects that were focused on and built in 2018. Yet social sectors like healthcare is at 2.7% and education at 0.4%. So does this bring concern about the prioritization of construction projects from government? And is government choosing economic development over human development? There is just so much to unpack in terms of construction. And Remind, we're really excited that we can unpack all of this with you.
Thank you.
So tell us about yourself and how you ended up in construction.
Okay. So basically, after school in 2014, so I stayed a few months at home, and then I found this amazing learnership at Aeon South Africa. And fast forward, I then became permanent at Aon, and miraculously landed in the construction and engineering department. And this was based on our performance in college. So ever since then, I've been in this department, and trust you me, every single day, it's a new thing, and I am learning and I'm enjoying what I'm doing. So being part of this construction and engineering from the insurance side, it's very amazing.
Sure. That is really, really awesome. And I love how your journey has been that of just learning and constant growth.
Oh, definitely. I mean, learning doesn't end. Hey, we learn every day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when we think of construction, we often think of men and Bob the Builder. But you are a woman in this field, which is phenomenal. Do you face any challenges because of your gender?
Yes, we do face challenges quite a lot, because if I check where I am, it's quite a male-dominated industry. I mean, whether it's on the practical engineering side and on the insurance side, it's very male-dominated. So when you get there and they'll be like, oh my goodness, this young African lady in construction, they tend not to even try to believe or even want to know that you know what you are doing. So it's very much challenging. And as a young African, I would love to grow within what I'm doing, and it's very much difficult, hey, I tell you. And we've got a lot of old people who are in this industry, and when you constantly going to them wanting to grasp the knowledge that they have, it's very difficult. Mm-hmm. So can you imagine?
Sure. I must say, I mean, just looking at the industry and how it's perceived, and hearing you share your own experiences, you're really breaking the ground for those who come after you. So as much as the plight is difficult, continue, because you being there normalizes young Black women in construction.
Definitely. So, you know, I'm setting a trend, and I'm also setting the norm. And people tend to be afraid or scared when they hear construction and engineering. But basically, it's about who you are and what you want to bring to the table.
That is so, so, so profound. So tell us about the work you do at your work at Aon.
All right. So basically, I am a junior broker in the construction engineering department. So I'm just going to play a picture for you. Let's say Netcare is constructing a hospital. So now Netcare would then come to us and say, hi, guys, I am constructing a hospital. Can you guys arrange and make sure that I am fully covered whilst I am constructing this building? So then I come in place, and I then advise them that this is the type of insurance that you would need in the construction phase, whether be it contractors all risk or plant all risk. Sorry, I'm not going to go in detail about the covers. And then what I do is I would then approach several insurance companies and then find the best, most suitable insurance for the client.
Okay, sure. That's awesome.
Yes, definitely. And I mean, even though I'm more on the insurance side, I also need to understand the documents that are there, what they are doing, all those processes. So you can understand that engineering terminology that I need to understand. So
you have to have a grasp of engineering and construction within the field.
Definitely. So because I started with a learnership, I am slowly learning. But if you were to go out or just see other insurance companies, they would much rather prefer to hire somebody who's got that experience in engineering physically, mm-hmm. or has a degree or some level of qualification in engineering.
And you are once again breaking the trends and setting them, which is really important.
Definitely.
So what are the construction trends in South Africa looking like in particular?
Okay, so well, what I'm going to do is we're just gonna go back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So in South Africa, we're going to look at 2010. So well, back then. So what happened in 2010 was that there was a rise in demand for infrastructure because of this World Cup that was coming in, and then we needed to cater for this World Cup and all these people who are going to come and watch this World Cup. So we saw a lot of big players. This is now I'm talking of big construction companies employing more people, creating more jobs. And we also had small construction companies, you know, emerging and coming up. Now, if you're going to look at post 2010, a lot of that it's a different picture. So what has happened is we don't there isn't much infrastructure happening. We don't need a lot of people and equipment. So now these big players are now breaking into smaller companies, even going on business rescue. And also these small construction companies are also losing jobs and are not getting anything. So you can just understand and see that there aren't any jobs and a lot of people are losing jobs. So that's the first trend that we are seeing in South Africa, which is your job losses. And another thing that I would like to mention is that your construction projects have decreased in value as opposed to your 2014 and 2016 era. And in South Africa, during that era of 2014 and 2016, we saw a rise in renewable energy. So renewable energy is when the government started looking for other ways of producing electricity into South Africa, and also ways of coming up with construction projects that are going to be greener. So this is now your solar projects and your wind farms. So in that time, we had a whole lot of projects that had big values. I'm talking about billions and in dollars as well. And the government also invested in that. But when we now going and now in around 2020, we are seeing less and less project values. And this is now because of our weakening economy and the rand value decreasing constantly.
Yes.
And then because of when you look at South Africa, many people, they do not have jobs because of the weakening economy. And we are now starting to see something called the construction mafia. So this is where a construction project is being constructed next to an informal settlement. The residents of that area, they have a tendency of attacking the construction project, demanding for work because a whole lot of people are just sitting at home and they want work. So some of those residents are not skilled, therefore putting pressure to these construction companies. And now we are seeing a trend in South Africa where sites are being abandoned because they're getting pressure from people. And now these people are striking. They're saying that you can't come in this area and construct without employing us. So that's another trend that we are seeing, which is the construction mafia. And the construction companies are incurring heavy penalties because they are not finishing a certain project in time. And remember, they have now abandoned that site, so they're not going to finish that project. So these companies are incurring these heavy penalties because they now have to pay them every single day due to the fact that they have abandoned their construction site. And also the employers who employed them also have that ripple effect, because you can imagine that they've invested in this project, but this project is no more. Mm-hmm. Nothing is going to be happening on site. So these are the trends that we are seeing in South Africa. And another thing that I would like to mention as well is the introduction of your Chinese companies. We are seeing more and more Chinese companies coming in South Africa. And when they're coming with their cheap labor, with cheap materials. Yes, it's a good thing because somehow, somewhere there is job creation, but then we're also seeing the fact that they want to come with their own people. The insurance industry is being impacted negatively because when these Chinese companies come, they want to insure these projects elsewhere. They don't want to insure them in Africa.
Yeah.
So in South Africa as a whole, we have a legislation where if a project is being done in that country, then the insurance needs to be insured in that country. So now the Chinese companies are now coming and dictating and saying, we want this to be insured in London, or we want this to be insured back in China. So it's really impacting the insurance industry in a very negative way, you know. The positive side, we are having more and more green buildings that are being constructed.
Okay.
Yes, so your old mutual, the building that's in Sandton opposite the Gau train station, is a green building. It is a green building. So this is a use of, well, green building basically means that it is a use of environmental friendly material in construction, be it be recycled material, for example, your face shades. So this, your face shades are those designs that you see on the outside of a building. They basically, a green building would make sure of easier operation in the future. So it will be easier to operate in a building that is green than in your normal conventional building. And also your material is environmental friendly. And that is what we're seeing more of. And then when in terms of technology, my comment would then be that we are seeing a lot of artificial intelligence being introduced, but on a global scale. So when it comes to Africa, I wouldn't say technology has impacted us that much because we are not there yet. We are not at a state where we are going to be introducing AI and robotics in the construction industry. And also, I mean, we are in Africa. We need to be producing and creating jobs and giving our people jobs. So you can imagine if we are bringing these robotics into construction, what is going to happen to our people, you know? But with that said, though, even though it seems that there are so many factors affecting the construction industry in South Africa, it does not necessarily mean that there won't be any construction happening. In fact, we should actually be expecting an increase in construction post-COVID-19. Because our government is looking at a recovery plan. We are looking into bringing in investors outside the countries, into creating jobs and strengthening our economy. And it's no lies, COVID-19 did impact us in a huge way. I mean, a lot of construction companies have stopped operating. Your big companies have went on business rescue. A lot of people have lost their jobs. And if you look at us in the insurance industry, you have a lot of policies which were not renewed, premiums were not being paid. And because of this, insurance companies started creating COVID-19 exclusions just to save them so that we must not be seeing a whole lot of claims now because COVID-19. So that is what has been happening so far.
Sure. I must say, I mean, you've provided us with such a comprehensive view of what the trends are within South Africa. I think what's also really great about your analysis is that you did not only look at, you know, what sorts of projects are happening, but you also looked at what are the social impacts of this, you know, what are also the environmental effects? So the focus on the fact that there have been more green buildings is really awesome. And also your inclusion of the job losses, but also that there is hope because post COVID-19, like you've mentioned, to then create jobs and reinvest in the economy, we are hoping to see an increase in construction projects to then create more jobs. So thank you so much for that analysis. And I think the one thing you touched on, which links well to the next question, is that, you know, with more construction on the continent, we're witnessing the rise of China in the continent. And you mentioned that African governments are relying so heavily on China because of the cheaper materials, and, you know, because of the fact that the Chinese have got their expertise in construction. But what are your thoughts on this? And do you think this poses a risk for Africa?
Definitely. I think it poses a risk for Africa, because why should we be bringing in the Chinese people in our country to come and to come with their cheap labor, to come with their own people and construct buildings? In actual fact, we should be saying to Africans that, guys, we need to sit down, we need to create companies, we need to use our own resources, you know, our own people to construct. So if we are going to, you can imagine, if we are going to bring in Chinese people, what is going to happen in the future? Then Africa is then being owned by the Chinese people. So I think as Africa, we need to stand our own ground. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, it's going to take time, but I believe if we just only allow in investors who are going to bring in the money, but then use our resources and our people to be constructing, it would be better.
Sure. Yeah. Already on the continent, unemployment is so high. And very often with the construction from the Chinese, they bring in their own resources, which is not just material, but also their own people who do the development on the continent. And that then means that, you know, we've got great construction happening, but we're not fully maximizing the benefit of construction because we're not creating jobs for our people. Mm-hmm. And post-COVID, we are already seeing, you know, worse levels of unemployment. And if we don't do something about it, African governments will soon see civil unrest. So we have to create jobs for our people. And yeah, I think that you've raised a lot of important points. The last question I have for you is, from your perspective, what should the construction priorities of African governments be? So we see that they're mainly focusing on like transport projects or real estate projects. But how would you reprioritize this?
I would say that Africa should concentrate on your health and educational infrastructures, because I believe that we do not have enough health infrastructures. In fact, if you go into Africa, there isn't really much health infrastructure that has been happening. So I would really want the government to focus on that, because we also have to look at the health of our people. Remember, a healthy nation means a growth in our economy, and happy people, you know, are more productive. But however, what I can say is, and with all the research that I've done, is that health infrastructures are also part of our sustainable development goals. So you can just see the importance of health in Africa. So I am very happy to see that the World Health Organization has been looking into that and are somehow creating a budget for your health infrastructures. And we need them, especially in South Africa, as well as education. If you go into Africa, and as well as in South Africa, we don't have enough schools.
Thank you so much for
in our space. We can't have kids being taught under trees. We can't have kids being taught when it's raining. So we need to have safe infrastructures for education as well.
Sure. And I think with that, you raise once again, really, really important points, right? We have to ensure that we are not only investing in the economic development of our continent, but also in the human development. The more, you know, the more healthcare facilities we have that are accessible, that are clean, where we've got healthcare workers who are being paid to do good work, the better and the stronger our nations will be, then the more economic growth we can have. remind you have been an awesome, awesome, awesome guest on our show. We have learned so much from you. And I think the key take homes that we've got from the conversation is that, firstly, young African women are very rare in construction, but it's important that we go for it. We become the norm. There is nothing that a young African woman cannot do. So let us go into such spaces and shake up the spaces. Number two, we have seen lots of job losses in construction, but we are hoping that post-COVID-19, as our governments across the continent want to reinvest in construction projects, that they would also reinvest with the idea and with the goal of creating jobs for our people so that we are able to really curb the effects of youth unemployment that we're seeing across the continent. Number three, we've learned that, you know, interesting trend is indeed the construction mafia, whereby your unemployed citizens in a community next to the construction site will go in and actually demand jobs. And we think that then stems from the fact that there are not enough jobs for our people on the continent. And so it's government's responsibility, as well as the various construction businesses and organizations, to ensure that they are also hiring and empowering local people so that we are creating jobs and opportunities, and then we won't have a construction mafia. We're also seeing the increased role of China on the continent. And I guess reinvestment and, you know, empowerment from the global south, cooperation is not necessarily a bad thing. However, our leaders have to ensure that they are charting their own development, that the development of our continent happens on our own terms. And it's so important that we are then being strategic in terms of saying, use some of our resources, empower our people, ensure that at all construction sites, 90% of the employees are people of our country. I think that's how we will see growth. And another trend we saw is more green buildings are being constructed. There is more AI that is brought into buildings. But from an African perspective, we have to be cognizant of the fact that AI could possibly displace many jobs that we've got. And the last thing that we've touched on is that we want to see more health and education infrastructure. At 2018, only 2.7% of the construction projects were health-related, and only 0.4% were education-related. And if we want our continent to do well and to grow, we must invest in our people. So Remind, thank you so much. You have helped us think of so much. You have empowered us with so much knowledge. And for all of those who are listening, please ensure that you're able to follow Remind Modao on her social media. And we want to thank the Engage Podcast Network for this opportunity for Africa Matters to be part of the platform. And also want to thank the great Africa Matters team for all of their hard work and preparing for this episode. We look forward to the next episode where we continue to learn, expand our knowledge as young Africans, because we are the ones who have been waiting for.